Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text 11. Maitreya Vacha Saprahasya Mahabaho Bhagavan Shabda Gochara. Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Maitreya said, thus Lord Brahma, who is understood by transcendental vibration, tried to satisfy the demigods, being pleased with their words of prayer. Translation responsively. Sri Maitreya said,
thus Lord Brahma,
who is understood by transcendental vibration,
try to satisfy the demigods,
being pleased with their words of prayer. Purport. Brahma could understand the misdeeds of Diti, and therefore he smiled at the whole situation. He replied to the demigods present then the words. He replied to the demigods present there in words they could understand. Om Agyana Timarandasya Jananjana Shlakaya Chakshu Munitamina Tasma Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobisam Sakitam Yena Bhutale Swami Pagadam Yanda Dati Swaparantikam Lukam Karoti Bachalam Pangum Nangaite Grim Nakripata Maham Bande Shri Purundina Tarinam Vanche Kalpatri Vischa Kripa Sindhivya Eva Chapatitanam Pavne Bhyo Vaishnava Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Once again, please forgive me. This will be another spontaneous rendition of Bhagavatam Plus. There was no one available. So please bear with me. So the chapter is entitled Description of the Kingdom of God. And this is following the chapter, Pregnancy of Deity in the Evening, wherein the descent of Hiranyakasipu. No, the descent of the two sons of Diti, who were conceived in an untimely manner, in an inauspicious time, is yet to unravel. So the coming of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu is on the horizon here. And we have heard that Diti was feeling very much... She was in an aggrieved situation. She understood from the potency of Kashyapa Muni, of course, that the sons that were in her womb would be killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that they would cause havoc or they would cause disturbance to their devotees. In different sections of the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, sometimes we hear how there's two classes of men. They are sometimes categorized as demons, demigods, impersonalists or personalists, etc. So different ways are being used to describe the different types of persons, all in relation to their relationship with Vedic authority. So of course, between demigods and demons, those with a demonic mentality do not accept the authority of the Vedic injunctions. And those who accept Vedic injunctions, Vedic literatures, and the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are being described as demigods. So these demons within the womb of Diti were to cause a lot of disturbance, not only on the planet, but the universe. So they're very powerful personalities because they had that potency to cause disturbances. So the demigods here approach their leader, in one sense, Lord Brahma, their father, the most intelligent being in the universe. They are approaching him to try get a solution how they can deal with the coming of such demonic forces. So naturally, when one is in an uncomfortable situation, whether it be based on fear, any type of discomfort, one approaches a senior or a superior authority for guidance, for help. Although the demigods themselves are very powerful personalities, but they're also showing that when in a despondent situation, one should and must approach, especially in spiritual reality, authority. So we have our authority in the form of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And in this sense, because they are devotees of the Lord, they understand that authority is there to give guidance. So they approach Lord Brahma here, who is explained as one who is understood by transcendental vibration. So as they approach Lord Brahma, they offer humble prayers to him, explaining their situation, how they have fallen into a miserable condition because of the embryo, so because of the embryo created by the semen of Kashyapa Muni in the womb of Diti. And for that reason, they feel like they're entering into a very, very dark period. The darkness of the universe is being explained as being caused by the embryo in the womb of Diti by Kashyapa Muni. So they're approaching Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma could understand, according to the this very short purport here, Lord Brahma could understand the whole situation. So it explains that he replied to the demigods with words they could understand. So, of course, speaking in such a way that your audience will understand, that makes a great teacher, that makes a powerful acharya. So we even see with Lord Brahma, he speaks in such a way that his students, his dependents can understand his instructions. So Lord Brahma later on will try to explain how different personalities will come to help alleviate the situation, to give them strength and to give them Krishna consciousness and devotional service, because when one has the strength of Krishna consciousness, they are able to actually go through the ups and downs of life as they come. As Bhagavad Gita explains, the happiness and distress in the material world come at their own accord, just like the winter and the summer seasons. And one must learn to tolerate them by steady control of the mind, by steady spiritual practice. So instead of taking shelter of fear and anxiety and being absorbed by those emotions, Lord Brahma here starts for the rest of the chapter explaining how by taking shelter of the spiritual reality, one will be relieved of their cares and anxieties. So Lord Brahma could understand, okay, these personalities are coming, and I shall impart to you knowledge, which is in the modern day context. Sometimes there's the slogan that says knowledge is power, or knowledge is the key. So with knowledge, one can actually gain a lot of strength and pick themselves up from a distressful situation or a lower form type of situation. So this is the situation of the demigods. They are approaching Lord Brahma, and even as they approach Lord Brahma, they are using suitable words. They are offering words of praise and glory according to his situation, according to his quality and characteristics. So they're showing their humility in accepting or approaching a authority to allow them to rise up from the distressful situation. So this is also an example for us. It's not that we only take shelter of our mind, or we take shelter of our bank account, or our false ego, our false misconceptions in life, which keep us bound to a network of karma, we could say, the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. So we try best as we can to not be so consumed by the lower modes, but to try to rise above the modes of material nature by associating with the spiritual energy, by associating with Krishna's higher energy. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining his energies, the inferior energy and his superior energy, and how he's a controller of both, and how the living entity is sometimes becomes illusioned or bewildered by the exterior energy of the Lord, the Mahamaya potency, because the living entity is trying to enjoy that energy or to lord it over. And in this way, because the living entity is very, very minute, very small, it is explained that the living entity is Anu and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Vibhu. So the living entity is very, very tiny, and the Supreme Lord, he's very, he's unlimited in his characteristics, in his activities, he's unlimited. So by trying to connect ourselves with the unlimited source of everything, we're able to overcome the three modes of material nature, because we are spiritual by nature. But when we come into contact with matter, that potency of ours seems to be covered. So we become illusioned into thinking we are the proprietors, we are the controllers. But in actuality, when we're dealing with the modes of material nature, we become controlled by the characteristics of those modes. So when Krishna is explaining this point, Daivi Hayesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratraya. So he's explaining that my Maya, my energy, this energy is belonging to Krishna, and he knows best how it works. He knows what the characteristics are. He knows the difficulties these modes of material nature pose on a tiny, insignificant living entity. So he explained that because you are my part and parcel, you are spirit by nature, we must connect ourselves also through spiritual activities, and in that way be able to overcome the shackles of material existence. So to approach Krishna, or hear the demigods, they are approaching the representative, they are approaching Lord Brahma. And oftentimes we see that Lord Brahma himself will go and approach Lord Vishnu and ask for protection. Because Lord Brahma also understands that he is also a small living entity in the bigger scheme of things. He's also empowered by the Lord as the secondary creator. So all his potencies are also coming by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So as they go on, Lord Brahma will clarify the reality of these two personalities who are yet to take their birth in the material world and cause disturbances all over the universe. So this disturbance is a constant affair with material nature and the conditioned soul. Because when the living entity gets put in the material world, there's so many things that come with the material body, different types of material desire, fruit of activities, different types of illusions, the constraints, the defects of the material body. These things are all there, and they produce an even thick-skinned false ego. So the false conception of the self becomes bigger and bigger the more one keeps associating with the modes of material nature. And unless one actually cuts off the association of the modes, the lower modes of material nature, one keeps on continuing in this constant harmony and disharmony of being in the material world. It is a dangerous endeavor. It is said, Dukhalayam Ashashvatam, Krishna is explaining in the Bhagavad Gita, that it is dangerous. Every step that we take is filled with uncertainty. So there might be reservations of being in this world and trying to be happy in this world. But a devotee is understanding that they place their life in Krishna's hand, and Krishna is always protecting their existence. So we take to Krishna consciousness, not thinking that we will not go through any bodily harm, pain, etc. All these things will be there that comes with being in the material world. However, we don't get so consumed by these minor bumps on our way back to Godhead. These things are there. They will happen. The body will go through its natural sattvikaras, the six changes in the body, birth, growth, staying for some time, sorry, producing some byproducts, staying for some time, dwindling, and then eventually the material body will vanish. As they say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So the body will disappear. That will be there. But what we've been cultivating our entire life, our bhakti, our spiritual practice, that is eternal. And that is what the main focus on life should be, understanding our oneness with the complete whole. Our oneness in quality, of course, not in terms of quantity, our oneness with the Supreme Lord. And by connecting through that oneness, through that spiritual understanding, we're able to make our exit from the material world and not live in a place of fear. The material world is fear-driven. There's so many fears that we see around us, that we experience, that we go through. But in Vaikuntha Loka, in the spiritual planets, there is no fear and there is no anxiety, because one is constantly submerged in the spiritual energy. And the spiritual energy, there is no place for fear, there is no place for anxiety. Spiritual fear, spiritual anxiety, that is there, of course, that is on a different level altogether, that is a different subject matter. Yes, sometimes the devotees fear that if Krishna goes out to tend the cows, that the tiny pebbles, the gems on the ground will poke Krishna's soft feet. So they become fearful, they're in anxiety. If they don't see Krishna for a certain period of time, they get into anxiety. But that type of transcendental anxiety and fear in the hearts of the pure devotees, it produces even more love for the Lord. And the Lord is pleased by such loving emotions. Those exchange of emotions are pleasing to the Lord. Anxiety and fear in the material world is not really pleasing. Even for the individual, we want to, you know, avoid it altogether. Whereas in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual context, all these things increase our loving propensity, both from the living entity who is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also from the Supreme Lord himself, who is constantly in relationship with his devotees. So, in the Vaikuntha planets, there's no fear, because the interest of the living entity is one with the Lord. All the residents there are driven by pleasing the Lord. So there's harmony between the devotees. There's harmony between the devotees' relationship and the Lord. So it is not possible that in Vaikuntha there can be disharmony as we see it in the material world. The material world is just a perverted reflection. So yes, there might be seemingly so-called tension, so-called fear, so-called anxiety, but that is on a spiritual platform, and that causes ever-increasing loving reciprocation between the devotee and Krishna. So it is not tinged by any material mode. There's no material energy in the Vaikuntha planets. So as we read through the description of God, Here we get introduced to the four sons of Brahma and how they travel through the Vaikuntha planets and what the Vaikuntha planets are like, how the relationships are like there, the role of the living entity as a servant, etc. So as we read through, we'll understand this precarious situation that the demigods are in the material world just before the advent of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, how they are surrounded by fear because these two personalities are going to cause a disturbance and put a disruption, so a slight discomfort to their devotional service. In comparison, the spiritual realm, there's never a disruption in the devotee's devotional service. Their life is 100% dedicated to the Lord. So Lord Brahma, understanding the situation of the devotees, the demigods, he's going to speak to them with suitable words to appease them and to make them understand that the Lord will protect them eventually. As the pastime unfolds, we understand that the Lord will appear as Lord Bo, of course, and as Lord Nrisingadev, and he will get rid of the demoniac mentality or tendencies in the personality of Hiranyakashipu. So in this way, as Lord Brahma is speaking, he will make the demigods understand the Lord is there, and he will offer protection in that way by adventing himself, by coming as one of his incarnations to offer protection to the demigods. So in this way, we understand that while living in the material world, the material energy will have certain effects on the conditioned soul, create mentalities that are not so conducive to spiritual life, whether it's envy, illusion, madness, fruit of desire. All these actions are standing in the way of us developing our pure love for Krishna. So as we read on, we'll learn the way in which we can approach authority. We approach the Bhagavatam, we approach the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, and the sadhus and the spiritual teachers who will explain to us how to take shelter of Krishna in any type of situation, and that the Lord's reciprocation will always be there. The Lord might not reciprocate immediately as we want, right there, that minute, but the Lord will always reciprocate with his devotee and offer protection for their bhakti, protection for their devotional service. So these are some things we can think about throughout the day, throughout the week, that we might be in the darkness of the universe. We might be in Kali Yuga surrounded by so many faults. It is an ocean of faults. But the one good quality, of course, what will give us liberation is the chanting of the holy name. So we have the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is very powerful for our Krishna consciousness, for our realization of who we are as servants of the Lord, and understanding that Krishna is our real shelter. And in this way we can make our way through the darkness. Krishna is compared to the light. We make our way towards the light, we move out of the darkness. So I'll stop here and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions.
Oh, sorry.
still chanting Hare Krishna and we get disturbed. Yeah, I've been disturbed for the past 12 years. I've been chanting Hare Krishna. It is a lifelong career, chanting Hare Krishna and getting rid of anattas and developing our spiritual strength, developing our spiritual identity. So it is not something that will just happen at the flick of a button. Chanting Hare Krishna, of course, requires constant effort and focus. Sometimes there's different levels of chanting. Sometimes we're chanting and reading, chanting and driving, chanting and our mind is somewhere else. So depending on our level of chanting, depending on our, what's the English word? Not absorption. The intensity of our chanting, we will make certain amount of progress. Because you know, we can be chanting for many millions and millions of years, but what is our chanting like? Are we absorbed? Are we developing love for Krishna? Or is it just mechanical? So that is why the chanting of Hare Krishna, it's a way in which we can really focus our effort and try to make proper advancement. So not just chanting mechanically or whimsically, but really focusing and understanding that from the name will come the form, will come the qualities and the pastimes. So the more we absorb ourselves in our chanting, over the years, these things will become apparent in our chanting. So when we are sufficiently purified, the change in the heart and the consciousness, they also come to the forefront. So we might be chanting right now and still be going through the motions and we might still be getting disturbed. That is okay. We have to keep on chanting and focusing more on being absorbed and hearing the holy name. So it is a lifelong career, just as to become a CEO or to become a neurosurgeon or whatever it might be. It requires constant effort and attention to the craft. So if you're whatever a technician or you're wanting to become a CEO, one of the Fortune 500 companies in the world, you might get there at age 60. So between the ages of 20 and 60, it's hard work. You're focused on one goal. You want to achieve this. So even with our chanting, we know what the goal is. We want our chanting to progress from Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila. We want to eventually understand and be attracted to Krishna's pastimes, but that will take, and that's like a career in itself. Perfecting our chanting, can't really perfect our chanting because Krishna's glories are so unlimited. We cannot perfect tasting Krishna's name. It is so unlimited. The pleasures derived from the name, the form, the qualities, and the pastimes in itself are unlimited. But it is something that we keep working on year after year after year. So even if in the beginning years we're still fighting with our mind to just listen to the holy name, to hear the holy name constantly, to become attracted to the holy name, that is a lifelong career. So just as it takes us years of study to become qualified and become expert in our field, it will take us some time to also become expert in our chanting and in developing our love for Krishna through chanting the holy name. So many things have to happen, as in the Shikshasikam, Lord Chaitanya explaining that process of Chetra, Dapana, Marjanam, that this process of chanting is going to purify the hearts. Seven different things will happen while we chant Hare Krishna. In that first stanza, it is explaining wiping the mirror of the heart, cleansing the heart, removing the contamination, and in the end, eventually, we will be chanting Hare Krishna, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. So the process of chanting is ridding the heart of the impurities accumulated for countless births. So we have to understand that we've accumulated a lot of unwanted things in the heart, and they will get released and purified by the process of chanting Hare Krishna. So that grinding process, every day we chant Hare Krishna, we're trying to purify the heart. And that takes effort, dedication, and commitment. Not just 1 week, 1 month, 1 year. Our entire Krishna consciousness, we're dedicated to chanting Hare Krishna. And Krishna is none different from His name. So the more we focus on chanting attentively, properly, naturally, we will we'll get closer and closer to Krishna. So don't despair. It's a lifelong career of chanting. Oh, okay. I thought you wanted to ask a question. Okay, thank you so much for coming to my spontaneous rendition. And Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki.